give you lead and everything. But plenty of barren deer, you get out and kill it. Well, Grandpap said, I'll have to get my house covered first if there's rain. Well, he said, you go ahead and finish your house, and then you kill some meat. Well, they live there, you know, long after the Civil War. Then the Indians came in there and run them out. They had to leave. Yeah, that is right on the middle branch. That's right where I was born. I was born there.
What was his grandpa's name?
Yes.
What was your grandpa's name?
Jess.
Did you say the Indians ran them out?
Yeah.
After the Civil War?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they come in there and run them out. Grandpap said, he was working then. He went, got a job of working. Them days, they cut wood, you know, run these old steamboats. You know, run up and down. But hey, they were on, he was working over on Monongahela River, someplace back in there. The boats come up in there, you know, backward and forward. Well, they was hauling out cordwood, they called it. And he was cutting wood there, chopping it. But Grandma, he'd come home. Every time he'd get home, Grandma would tell him about that Indian coming to the house there. Said he'd come in, he wouldn't speak. He'd just come in and sit down and just sit there. Grandpap said, why don't you ask him what he wants? He said, no, I was afraid to. Next time he comes, said, now ask him what he wants or what he's coming there for. Well, Grandpap had got close to the where he lived, a working man. But he'd come home of a night, always of a night, he'd come home from where he's working then. Well, he said he come home. Said when he got there, his now that was Grandpa's brother. His name was Jess, and his wife was named the same name of my grandma, Nancy. He said when he come home, here they were just boys. Grandpap was, you know, his boy staying there. That's before he was married with his brother. He said, here she had all the beds gathered up, big strings around them, tied together, everything. And they had two horses. They'd got two horses, and they had these two horses tied up right at the house where the house was built. Grandpa said to, or he said to him, he said, now what does this mean? Well, she said, now I sat in and what he wanted. Today, said they're going to make a raid here tonight. They're going to kill all the white people and drive them out of here. Well, Grandpap said they got busy and got the, what they could get on the horses. Had two, and they had his wife rode one of the horses, but they walked. But they had to go to the High River. And they had to cross in a boat, across the High River to get across and get away from them. He said they just got to the High River when they heard them blow the sardine, the Indians, the coming after them. Well, they had boats. They just all got in these boats and started to cross. But there was another woman and man that had their family, and they had one baby, just a little baby. But they got in this boat, and Grandpap said, now, they've got a way out till they couldn't get to them. After you got there, they wouldn't follow you on through the waters. But this woman and man hadn't got far enough away from the bank. They just jumped in an old canoe or a boat or something and laid after them and followed them out into the river and stopped them. Said to this woman, said, throw that baby in the river. She said, no, no, no. Said, I'll not. He said, I said, throw it in. Now he said, them Indians, now he said, that looks cruel. He said there was two of them stepped over in their boat, took a knife and went to cutting her arms. She lost control of her arms, she couldn't hold the baby, and it dropped off in the river. Well, they said the man grabbed the paddle. Well, he's running the bow, an old paddle, and he hit one of the Indians and knocked him out into the water. But when they knocked him out into the water, the other ones jumped on him. And they jumped on him, they killed him. Threw him right out in the river. Well, Grandpap said they was way out in the river, but he said they stopped could see. And he said there was that woman, nobody else in there, and her arms cut. He said to his mother, he said, let's turn around and go back and get that woman. But she'd got out of the boat now. This water wasn't up over her head where the boat was, and she was trying to pick this baby up out of the water with her feet to get it to the bank. And they got there and got her out of her that boat she was in and put it in theirs and took her with her. Now he said her arms was cut. All of the muscle of her arms, she didn't have no power in her hands to hold nothing. Said we took her across with us and she lived with us and he got her arms cured up, but she said she never was thought she was a cripple in them arms. She couldn't do it.
Couldn't.
Now Grandpap said that was really true. And he said, now he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I don't think the way I felt that I could held up the weight of a soup bean in my hand. He said, I just thought our lives was right there gone. But he said, we got away from them. Oh, they killed a lot of them there.
So your people came from Kentucky, and that's where they had the Civil War, and then they got run out of Kentucky by the Indians.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They come then to Williams River, moved right in the wilderness. There was nothing there, no houses, no nothing. They was the first people ever settled on the Williams River. Right at the Three Forks of Williams River. From that on, then they got people got coming in, you know, and building houses, little old shanties, clearing up ground. Now they cleared their ground right in the biggest timber there was. And all the way they had to clear it was just chop it with an axe. They had an old saw, but Grandpap said it's an old buck saw, they called them. Said just one handle on it. And he said it wouldn't cut as fast as you could chop it. And he said a many days they worked in there clearing up to get them some corn, a place to raise corn, potatoes and garden stuff. He sat and told us that when I was just a small boy, but I can remember it. Yes.
Well, how about singing us another one?
Well, what do you want me to sing?
Well, how about I once was rich, but I ran with boys. Come on.
I don't know whether I can remember that or not. I'll try.
The rich and rambling boy, I think it
is. I know what you mean. I sung them songs for a long time ago, but I'll try to sing the rambling boy again. I can't sing very much, people. My breath's too short. I'd like to have a sip of water.
Okay,
so I'm all right. That's fine. Thank you. Now, you ought to know that. I once was rich. But a rambling boy to land and city, and I paid my fare, spent all of my money that a bar room there. It's there I married me a wife. I loved her dear, the love of my life. She treated me both kind and gay, and she calls me to rob on the road highway. I rob them all, I do declare. I rob them all in deep to spare. I rob them all 10,000 pounds. One night when I was a rambling around, I'll buy me a ticket for Greenville's town. I'll get on the train and I'll sit down. The wheels will roll and the whistle will blow. In 5 more days I'll roll no more. I have bright good to carry me through. 3 glittering swords and a pistol too. And a poor little girl to pay my toll, with her diamond rings and her silver and gold. If now I am content to die, a merry poor girl for me will cry, but all her cries won't set me free, nor to keep me away from the gallows tree. Whenever I'm dead, don't bury me at all. Just put me away in alcohol. Place a gallon jug at my head and feet, and show to the world I'm just asleep.
And where'd that song come from, Carol? Where'd that song come from?
Where'd it come from? That come from my uncle.
What was his name?
Bernard Bolton. Yeah. He used to sing up, played on the organ. He played the organ. Yeah. He lived on Gully River.
Gully River. Bolfman?
Bolfman.
What was his wife's name?
What was his wife's name?
What was his wife? He never was married.
Is he the one that had the big mill is that the one you're telling me about? Had the big water-powered mill and made chairs and all?
That's right. Yeah. No. That is my uncle, and that mother uncle. Yeah. Bernard Bolfman, was his name. He just stayed at home with his father and mother and farmed. That's all he ever done. He never worked a wet nothing. Uh-huh. No, he just farmed. And he stayed there. They had a mill on Gully River. His father did. They ground there and raised their own stuff. Now, his father, that was Grandpap. Now, he worked. He made everything. He could make anything, maybe that's the one you was talking about. Exactly. He could make anything that could be made out of wood, or iron. It didn't make no difference what it was, he could make it. He had a blacksmith shop, he had a turning lathe, and he had everything. It all run by water, power with water. But there was nothing that you could ask that man to make he couldn't make. And they wasn't a piece about a gun, no kind of a gun, that broke, that you could take it to him and he'd make it in the blacksmith shop. He told me, that's a good while before he died, I can just remember it pretty good, that he could make anything that could be made, in a blacksmith shop but one thing. And he said, they were not made in the blacksmith shop, they were run. And that was a horseshoe nail. He said, I could make anything but a horseshoe nail. He said, I could make nails, horseshoe nails, and put a shoe on. But he said, I never could make them like this made in the factory. Because he said, the horseshoe nails was run. They were melted and run, the mold. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, he made turning lathes. He made spinning wheels. He made everything. Check reels, looms, he made them all. He made his whole family spinning wheels, check reels, and stuff like that, and made a balloon when they were just kids. He made every one of them. My mother had one, his daughter, she was his, and she had a spinning wheel, check reel, and all that stuff. But he could make anything you asked him to make. Now, there was no question to that. And he could make a chur. He'd make a set of churs. Now, he made churs them days. He made them for $1 a piece and bought them. Well, he had to go to the woods and get his timber, you know, and work it up and put it up and put it to, up to season. It took over a year to season it. Had a place and had building and heat in there. And it took over a year to seal these so they wouldn't, you know. And his back, he made him a press. You know, he made these chures and he put them in that press. And right from so far down, they had a crook in the back you could just sit on. Boy, you could sit down on one of them and you could rest. And the bottoms was made out of splits, white oak splits. And he'd gone, whenever you got one of them, you need to be a bit of change about the sure of falling down or nothing happened, but the bottom, of course, the bottom would wear out. And that could be easy put back in. $6 for a set, six chores, $1 a piece. Now that man, he made his living right there. See, he come in there in the time of the war. He was in the Civil War. And he got out and come there and moved right on Gully River, right in the wild woods. Laurel, pines, hemlocks, all kinds of timber. Him and his wife moved there. He built his house there, just a little old house he first built. And they went to work, had one kid, the oldest, and that, his name was Adam. And they went to work and cleared this up and raised their corn and stuff right there, right in the woods. Yes, that's where he got his start. Now, Jerry, he lived in that little old house. After he built the other house, he took this little old log house and made him a workhouse out of it, you know. Shop. Something like you got, a shop, yeah. But he built his house just the year after the Civil War, the one he lived in. He built it, he lived in that house till he raised his whole family and he died. Now, he was built out of poplar logs. There was poplar logs in there after he hewed them. I'll bet you the face of them was that wide. Three logs built the side of the house up. Now, they had a loft up in it, up to the square. Three logs at one side built it up. Now, just notched in, right up to the square.
They must have split the logs and then hewed them flat.
No, sir. He had an old whip saw. You see, they had a place to whip saw. He'd put the logs up there and then he'd saw them open. The big poplar trees. Then he'd hew these sides. Then he'd put them up, put them in. Our house was built out of nothing but poplar logs. The rafters was made out of poplar, just poplar poles.
Punching floor?
Punching floor, yes. But he tongue and grew head. He just fit up there, and of course, now it was a huge punching floor.
What's a punching floor?
She says, what's a punching floor?
Huh? That's a floor, you know, what you lay on. The same as the floor you put down with lumber. only it's just a big wide punching floor, you know. They're huge, and they just tongue and groove together.
Just big wide logs.
They're that thick.
What was that song your mother used to sing, you said, around the house about the punching floor?
Oh, Lord, Mama, my toes are sore, I'll dance all over the punching floor. I'll dance one reel and I'll dance no more, but I'll dance all over the punching floor. She used to play that on the violin when I was a kid. Yeah. People, we don't know what hard times is, unless we just, but now they had good times, Jerry. It's like Grandpap Boffman said, he lived till he was 99 years old and 8 months when he died. And he said if he hadn't have took that old bright disease, he was going to live his 100th year and he wouldn't have had long to live, would he? But that was the funniest turned man I ever seen. He was my grandfather. Now you'd meet that man, if you'd come to his house, wherever you seen him, you'd think he was mad. I don't think he ever give anybody a good word. If he did, I never heard him. That's true. You could speak to him, I don't know that I don't think about it. That's the way he talked to you. And you could go there to get him to make something. Say, well, Dave was his name. Would say, well, Dave would like Freddy to make this. Somebody come in there. Throw the dot darn thing down one house. And he'd just wore off. That's everything he'd say. They'd go in the house and talk to Grandma. She talked to him, you know. Maybe, oh, it wouldn't be maybe a couple hours or something. Little thing he wanted made. He'd come and lay down on the porch. I laid that dot darn thing down out there now. Don't break it no more. Yeah, he would. That's a fact. He was the funniest turned man I ever saw. Man. But I'd go, I was old, just a little bit of a todger, and I went to go in there. Wherever Grandpap was, you could say I was right with him. Yes. He'd go to plow or on the farm, plow his corn or something. He'd make me get on the horse and ride the horse. He'd plow all the whole half a day. I'd never get off. I'd just sit there. I'd better go to dinner. And that's all you'd hear him say. And I, when he went to the table now, he'd sit down. Now you see what there is. And that's all he'd say. And you'd better not offer him anything on the table. Not unless he asked for it. You pick up a dish and ask him if he wanted something. That darn it, set it down. I can reach it. Oh. That's true. He'd do that all the time. And it wasn't just with the strangers. It was everybody. His wife, his kids, he just talked the same way. Yes. He had beard. About that long. He was a German. Half German. He come from Germany. But now he was a funny turned man. But indeed, he was a good man. Everybody missed him now. There was no question to it in that neighborhood for miles and miles around there. Fixing their plows and wagons and stuff. He'd make wagon wheels and put it on, new hubs and everything. Oh, yes. They missed that old fella. He was a feller that, I don't know, he just had that turn, you know. Now, every morning at 4 o'clock, winter and summer, I'll bet you $5 you wouldn't catch Grandpap in bed. I don't care how cold it was or what kind of weather it was. He'd just ease up out of bed and ease his clothes on. And you could go up and look for him, he was gone. You didn't know where he was at. No, sir. Every morning, only of a Sunday. Of a Sunday, they had an old log house that had church in it. They called it the Baptist Church. He'd get up of a Sunday morning. Now, he never put on no dressed-up clothes. he wore his old clothes for his wife weave for him, you know, and made them behind. He put them on, an old Scotch cap. I don't know whether you ever seen one of them or not. An old black Scotch cap. You could pull it down over your ears. You get up a Sunday morning, Grandpapa's gone, you could say he's at that church house. I'd guarantee him to be in that church house Sunday morning. And he'd be there till noon. Maybe not a soul there. They'd come a bunch in there, Grandpapa's there. Yes. But he wouldn't sing. I never heard him sing, or never heard him whistle in my life. Nor I never saw that man spit in my life. He chewed homemade tobacco, raised it himself. Big twist, you know, he'd twist it up and just stick it in his pocket. He'd take him a chew tobacco and just chewed it like a sheep eating grass, just fast as he could chew it. A little bit, he'd jerk that twist out and take him another bite off. He never threw the chew tobacco out, and he never spit.
What'd he do with it?
Swallowed it. Yes, one day me and him were working in the hayfield. Oh, it was hot. Now, I mean, it was really hot. We was working in the hayfield. I was hauling hay shocks with a horse. You know what that is. Well, he was pitching hay, and he had his boy up on the stack. So he was chewing his tobacco and pitching hay, you know, and the sweat was just pouring off. And he had a big mouthful of that old tobacco. But I, on hook from the hay shock, I said, "Grandpap, I want to ask you something." "What the goddamn nation now you want to ask?" I said, "What do you do with your tobacco that you've got in your mouth?" I said, "Yeah, I never see you throw it out, nor I never see you spit." "God darn it, what's you put it in your mouth and spit it out?" "Sorry, if you want the good of it." And he never did, no sir. You fellas think I'm just kidding, but honest, if that's the truth, and if you ever see any of his people, they'll tell you the same as I'm doing.
Well, I guess eventually it killed him, didn't he? He only lived to be 99. Didn't
he? He was 99 years old and 8 months when he died. It's this marker at his grave, it's all marked right on his tombstone. And he took bright disease, so it killed him.
Was he a Hammonds or Baldwin?
He had bright disease for a year before he died.
When was he born?
Oh, Lord, he was born before the Civil War. I don't know. I forget. It's on the tombstone on Gully River, the Paulfman Graveyard. I can take you there and show it to you. Yes.
He kept a lot of bees, didn't he? I've heard a lot of people
talk
about.
Oh, yeah, he had about, I expect, 100 bee stands. They sat right along a little old bank there. He had them all set, just room to just get between them. And the most of them was made out of big old poplar log. Yes, sir. Find a holler poplar and cut him off one and clean it out, put cross sticks in it, put his bees in. He had one poplar gum there, was 5 feet. Now, after he'd cleaned it out and took it all off in the bark, it was 5 feet on top of it from one side to the other. And I'll bet you the wood was about that thick. Me and my uncle went to rob it. It hadn't been robbed for, they didn't know how long. And one year, me and my uncle went to rob it out of Bernard after he died, after my grandpa. Now, we took a wash tub, one of these big 2-bushel wash tubs, I don't mean a little, and we cut it out that was full of the prettiest honey out of that poplar gum that ever you saw. And we just got down below the first cross stick. Indeed, there was honey and there was candy. It was just candy, just the same as you'd had it out someplace. We robbed that bee stand. Yes. He wasn't a bit more afraid of the honeybee. Uncle Bernard wasn't on the house line. None of them was. They just go in any time. Right in the middle of the day, just go and open the bee gum and blow the smoke in, get the bees off the honey and take them out some honey. But they had these all upright gums. I've helped rob there many a spring.
You want to sing one?
Huh?
You want to sing another?
Well, I don't know. I just think. I thought of one a while ago, but I forgot what it was now.
How about the Wexford Girl?
The what?
The Wexford Girl.
The Wexford Girl.
I fell in love with a Wexford girl with dark and rolling eyes.
Yeah, I'll try that. I don't know whether I can sing it or not, but I'll try. My breast quit bothering me. Well, I'll try this in people. I don't know whether I can get it sung or not, but I'll try. I fell in love with a Wexford girl with dark and rolling eyes. I swore that I would marry her if she was with me alive. I said to her, let's take a walk down by yon meadow so gay. And there we both would chat a while and point the wedding day. I asked her if she'd marry me. Well, what do you reckon? She said. She said she would not marry me if all the rest was dead. I picked an axe handle from the ground. I banged her over.